Welcome back to Intrepid Lifestyle. I'm your host, Joe Lavelle. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today with a thought leader in our series about internet security and safety. We're going to get right to it today. We're joined by Scott Driscoll, president and founder of Internet Safety Concepts. Scott, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much for making the time today. Before we begin our discussion, Scott, could you take a few seconds and tell the audience about you and your background?
Sure. My background, I'm a retired police officer. I did 26 years with a local police department and fortunately didn't have the typical career path when it comes to law enforcement. Very early on in my career, I was made one of our youth officers, which means I investigated crimes against children or was the officer friendly in the school system. Once the internet took off, everything changed for me, where I developed curriculums on safety, and then I was assigned to a federal task force for computer crimes against children. So pretty much for 5 years, I was either investigating child pornography cases online, or my primary focus was I would go online as a 13-year-old kid, and I would be arresting people from all over this country for trying to hurt our children online.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to learn more about that. But would you take the next couple minutes and tell our audience, give them a 10,000-foot overview of internet safety concepts?
Yeah, I started this because one of the things I felt and learned being that child online was technology is great, and there's a lot of great things we can do with it. But if we don't focus on the safety, there's some important concerns and there's some dangers that can happen. So I started to, with my company, put together education and information, and I do seminars and keynote addresses, and I go into schools. And my approach is we need to empower smart online choices. Technology is not going away, but hopefully through my company, my presentations, we can educate ourselves to make the best choices possible.
Scott, we talked a little before the show that often the seminars we go to provide the scare tactics, and we'll only do this for this first question. What are some of the new trends and techniques that are being used online by predators to get our children?
Well, I think one of the things that people look for is when a predator goes online, they're looking for the ease of communication. They're looking to do a grooming process. So when we allow strangers into our world or we allow strangers into our kids' world, one of the biggest things we're going to see is if someone wants to meet our child, someone wants to victimize our child, they're not going to come right out and say that. It's going to be part of a grooming process. So that's why it's so important to understand that we have to know who we're communicating with, because one of the biggest things they're doing is they're getting into our world and they're forming friendships. And we can't drop our guard on what a true friend is. And if we only know someone from the internet, that's not a true friend, it's a stranger. And that's probably the biggest way they get in. They can look it through our social media. They can put a puzzle together on who we are and where we live and our likes and dislikes. And then if they start communicating with us, it's easy for them to build up that rapport and start the grooming process. And we can't let that happen.
Scott, what are the top 4 or 5 rules that you suggest parents set up and enforce regarding internet-connected devices?
Well, I think one of the biggest rules, and I think it's one of probably the most overlooked, is when our kids come to us for the devices, I think parents have to understand that we're not obligated by any law as parents to give our kids the latest and greatest technology. I think the children have to earn it. They have to earn it by showing maturity that they can handle this great technology. And it's got to be something that's age appropriate. I think one of the biggest overlooked things are the minimum ages when it comes to certain programs and apps. Almost every social media site has a minimum age of 13. And although people ignore that, I think that's important for us as parents to reinforce, not only because what our kids get exposed to, but it's also telling our kids, hey, it's okay to violate rules if it's important to you. Social media comes up with their minimum ages for a reason. And I don't think it's because of how the kids use the program. It's because what our kids get exposed to and how other people use it. So if the kids haven't earned it, they shouldn't get it. And I think we should respect the minimum ages. But probably the biggest thing for parents is to know what our kids are doing. Although we give our kids devices, and I'm not expecting every one of us to look over our kids' shoulder 24/7, but we should be looking at their devices and looking at their apps and their websites and the programs they use and familiarize ourselves with it and find out who our kids are communicating and just how much they are sharing.
How's a parent to know which tool, Scott, to use for that job to monitor and manage what their kids are doing, what their activity is?
Well, there's a couple things that I always recommend. First, if parents are using a certain brand of a phone, if they're going to give the kids the phone and they've earned that, I always recommend have the same brand of phone, because we know as we start to use our technology, we become comfortable with it. We learn about it. So if let's say, for example, I'm an iPhone user. If I give my child a different phone, now I've got two systems I've got to learn. So one of the things I always say is make sure you have the same ones. A benefit to that is if we do need our kid to show us how to use something, they know technology. We can meet in the middle and say, hey, I don't understand how to use this. Can you show me? But also, why are you using it? And make sure we're doing it safely. And when it comes to parental controls, each phone or device has some parental controls set up. It's important for parents to look through those devices and just have a basic understanding of what they can set through the device. But there's a lot of add-on programs that we can use, and it all depends on what the parent is looking for. I know a lot of parents these days want to see if they can block certain sites like YouTube from their younger kids. Some parents want to get all the text messages that their kids send. And there are programs out there that do it. I always recommend the parents do some side-by-side comparison or try out the free trials of certain parental controls to see what works best for their family.
Outstanding. Scott, I have a little side note for you. I don't know if you'll want to use it going forward. The governor of the state of Alabama went through a divorce last year. He's in his 60s, maybe early 70s. And the reason he got a divorce is he was having an extramarital affair. How his wife found out is his staff talked him into getting an iPad. And they set up his iPad for him, and he was communicating with this woman who was actually on his staff via his phone, and he didn't realize that iMessage was coming through on his iPad and his phone. So his wife was seeing all these messages and took screenshots, and basically it was one of those 10-minute divorces because he had no leg to stand on. But it goes to your advice of making sure you understand the devices your kids are using and how they work and what they do.
Absolutely. When my daughter was younger, I have and it's funny you say that because that's one of the tips that when I do my seminars, I tell the parents, if you're all on the same iCloud account, you can see what everyone's doing. And it's not being sneaky or going behind your kid's back, because if you're up front and you tell them right ahead of time, hey, listen, you see my text, I see yours, it helps us stay safe. If everyone's comfortable with that, it's a good tool. I kept an iPad just specifically on my daughter's iCloud account. So whenever she got an iMessage, I would get it. And I was always honest with her about it. I wouldn't lie about it. I'd say, listen, I'm not looking over every message, but this is just one thing that helps me see what's going on. And if something does go wrong, I can be there to help you immediately.
You've mentioned social media. What advice specifically do you have about social media for kids?
Well, for kids, I do. Again, I'll reinforce it. If we're below the minimum age, I think we have to respect that because of what we see out there. But if they're going to use it, and I do understand it's a very popular thing to throw that minimum age out the window, the first thing is, how much information do we share on our profiles, and are we setting our accounts to private? What I always recommend is, if you're going to set up a profile, if you're a younger kid, first thing is, mom, dad, I'm going to get this app. What do you think? Maybe educate the parents about it if they don't know. And then when it comes to a profile, don't fill in every blank. I always recommend when it comes to profiles, give them your first initial and hit submit. And then it'll come back usually in red and tells us what the required fields are. And that's when we make our choice. Wow, this app wants that much information. Maybe it's not safe, or it's fair what they're asking for. And if there is a way to set it to private, it absolutely needs to be set to private.
And is there any specific advice you have for internet-connected gaming systems?
Yeah, a couple things I've seen with the gaming systems that my biggest concern is the profile. I see a lot of young people giving their cell phone number as part of their profile. And when I ask kids, why are you doing that? They always tell me, oh, the people I play with, that gives them an opportunity to know my number. They can text me when they're going to be on, and we can set up a time. And I always come back with follow-up questions because I like to get the kids thinking about what they say. And I say, where do you know these people from? And they say, well, this gaming system. And before they can say anything else, most of the kids look to me and say, they're a stranger, aren't they? I go, well, yeah, if we only know them from a gaming system, even though we might play with them every day and they seem really cool, if we don't know who they are, they're a stranger. So that's a concern. Also, when we put on our headphones, we can't let a screen or a microphone change who we are. I've heard some pretty nasty cyberbullying and how people treat each other in gaming worlds because we hide behind a screen. So I always tell the kids, if you can't say it face to face or say it in front of your parents, doesn't mean you should be saying it on a game system either.
Great advice. Scott, YouTube is especially popular with my 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. I'm at wit's end trying to prohibit his inappropriate use without killing his curiosity for the really good things that can be on YouTube. Do you have any specific advice regarding YouTube?
Well, there's a couple ways. The concerns I have for YouTube are the same thing, what we get exposed to. One of the ways we can use it is if you have a Google account and you log in, and the way you work it out with your kid is say, okay, the only time you can go to YouTube is one, if I'm in the same room, and two, you go under my Google account. Because if you go to YouTube under your Google account, they do offer some restrictions. Now, are they 100%? No, because YouTube is a user-generated program, so there's a lot of things being uploaded all the time. So they do offer some, but it has to be under a Google account. If your child goes to a different computer, those restrictions don't follow unless it's under your Google account. There are some add-on programs, though, that can block websites. They can limit and restrict things. I know a couple that I've had really good luck with. Castido, I always seem to pronounce it wrong, but Castudio is a good one. Circle Disney and another one called MM Guardian. Those three seem to have some pretty good user-friendly ways that parents can block certain sites. And what I always tell parents is if you block it, there's going to be a time where your kids earn it back as they get older. Just take that journey together as a family.
Great. And thank you for the advice on those three blocking or monitoring software. I'm actually in the process of testing, however you say, QStudio. And
I think it's Custodio. I always mispronounce it the first time, then I come back. Okay. I think it's Custodio.
Well, I'm testing that, and I'm testing Circle next, but I'm going to add MM Guardian to my list. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, MM Guardian is one that parents have come to me in the last month speaking very highly of. In the next month, when I have a little bit of a break from presentations, MM Guardian will be the one I'm testing out. And from what I'm hearing, it's a really user-friendly, good program.
Scott, I went and saw a presentation like the ones you give just recently. It was a gentleman who worked for the DA, ex-law enforcement, and this is part of what he does is go out and educate parents. And he said the following. He said, I know it's going to be unpopular and I'm going to have to give my kids therapy, but they're not getting a phone when they turn 12 years old or 14 years old. And I'm not sure exactly when, but they'll probably sometime by their 18 years old. How do you feel as a parent? Is there a good age? How do you judge when the right time to give a kid a smartphone?
This parenting thing has been the biggest challenge for me. I've got two older kids. I got a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old. So we went through this a while ago. And for me, it was all on a maturity aspect, and the kids earned it. My son, the first smartphone for my children came in when my son was a freshman in high school. Now, when my daughter became a freshman in high school, she came to me and said, "Where's my iPhone?" And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. It hasn't been earned yet." It's not an insult to her. I'm not trying to be mean to her. That was just the reality of where we were. So it's definitely something that has to be considered before we just give our kids devices. And I always joke with the parents that it's an ongoing fight. And I remember when I first said to my daughter, "You're not getting a smartphone," she told me how much she hated me. And I told her it's going to be a long and healthy hate. But just because you don't like me right now doesn't mean it's going to change my decision. I'm your dad. I'm not your friend.
I love it. Earn versus age.
Yep. Yep.
We've said for a couple of years that we're not going to consider it until my son is 12. But I think we need to start changing our language too. He needs to earn it.
I mean, when I go into schools, I have kids in fifth grade that have better and more advanced phones than I carry with unlimited data plans. And yeah. I just don't see the need for that. I mean, a lot of parents come to me and say, "Well, it's for emergencies." And there's other ways of dealing with things with emergencies. I mean, every school has a way to contact parents. And there's other devices like a flip phone that are great tools for emergency contact. When we give our kids an unlimited data plan with smartphones, we are giving them access to the world when we're not around. And if a stranger walked up to our kids on our own street, we would be questioning that stranger or calling the cops and figuring out what's going on. But when it's online, we kind of don't look into it. And that's where we've got to change.
Exactly. Scott, in addition to bookmarking your site to keep up with your thought leadership, what are some other resources parents can keep up with to keep up with the most up-to-date things that they should be aware of and look out for?
Well, a lot of the parental control apps, when you download them, they have updates and blogs. I always recommend to people that check with your local police department, because there are local police departments that have a wealth of information about this information. They might not publicize it as I do as a company, but local police departments, especially the youth officers and school resource officers, are a wealth of information on current trends. FBI.gov always has great educational aspects. Common Sense Media is a parent's approach to today's technology, and they offer a whole bunch of reviews on programs. I'm also a little bit of a techie guy, so I always go to like PC Magazine, and they will do some comparisons. But I also just, I mean, talking to the kids, I think one of the best resources for learning about this stuff is talk to the children. I have what I call a sit and learn approach. Next time your kid's on a device, don't say anything. Just sit down next to him or her and say, "What you doing?" You can learn so much from that conversation. You know your kids better than anybody. If that device all of a sudden goes blank or it comes up to their chest and they're hiding it, just say, "Let me see it." But if they just give you that teenager sigh and say, "Oh, I'm on Instagram," take it as a learning opportunity. Teach me about it. And I think that really open communication starts some really good usage on today's technology.
Now, that's a good point, Scott. I think that we can teach kids and kids can teach us these devices, not only so that we can monitor, but I use technology every day. I try to learn more about Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter for my job. There's many, many things I could teach my son about all those tools if I just would sit with him and engage and see where his interests are. And I'm sure if I were to do what you say, I might learn a thing or two about some of those tools.
When I tell my parents at parent presentations to just sit and learn from your kid, that's what I get the most feedback from parents. Because a lot of time as parents, we're thinking about is safety. And that's a very important part of our job. And if we look to our kids, "Hey, when I'm done cooking dinner, I want to look through your phone and see what you're doing," they're probably going to be reading a book and everything's cleaned. But if you just sit down next to them, non-accusatory, and say, "What you doing?" You get an instant reaction to what your kids are doing. And that could be a great learning opportunity, but it also is a great opening for conversation and communication.
Scott, I'm sure everybody's bookmarking the sites you've mentioned right now, and they've either got their keyboard or their smartphone out. So I want to take the opportunity. Everybody go to www.internetsafetyconcepts.com. Bookmark that site. Keep up with Scott's great thought leadership. Keep up with things as they evolve, and keep up with the latest that your kids are going to try out there. So, Scott, it was so great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and sharing your great wisdom with us today.
Anytime. I appreciate it.
All right. That wraps this broadcast. On behalf of our guest, Scott Driscoll, I'm Joe Lavelle, and we'll see you soon on Intrepid Lifestyle.